The recent sniper killings in the Washington, D.C. area have dominated news reports. NPR's Netta Ulaby reports that attention has become part of the story.
Montgomery County Police Chief Charles Moose was in a fury earlier this week when a cryptic message from the sniper was leaked. In a press briefing, Moose accused journalists of interfering.
I beg of the media, let us do our job. If the community wants you to do it, they will call today and we will have a vote. And if it's decided that Channel 9 is going to investigate this case, then so be it.
As Moose railed against the media, his words were broadcast nationally. But it's not just the police that are affected by news coverage. The public is torn between a hunger for details of the crimes and a desire to support the police, who must limit information. Julia Frank is a psychiatrist who specializes in anxiety, and she lives in Montgomery County. She says the news as public service is invaluable.
The media coverage strengthens people's coping by giving them up-to-date information, suggestions of how to manage their lives in the context of the crisis.
But Frank says the media can make the danger seem more immediate and personal than it actually is. And various aspects of news coverage might also affect the killer's behavior. Michael Wellner is a forensic psychiatrist at New York University.
The research that's available has come actually from case studies of multiple homicide perpetrators who indicated that they were aware of previous multiple homicides. They read about them, they study them, and in some cases, they try to outdo people who've done this in the past for the attention.
This puts reporters and editors in a dilemma. In their efforts to cover the story, they're forced to generate notoriety for a killer who may seek it. But Wellner says language can have a profound effect on the assailant's image. He thinks anyone who picks off innocent people with a high-powered rifle should be called a coward or a shooter, not a sniper. And he says reporters should avoid glorification in the interest of accuracy.
These references to people as cunning, to being especially skilled, to be especially devious. No. We're dealing with someone who's a loser who decided to assume a destructive identity.
Peggy Walsh is especially sensitive to this issue. She was news editor for the Associated Press Bureau in Atlanta during the infamous child murders that gripped the city from 1979 to 1982.
We spent a great deal of time thinking about what we were doing, how it affected the community, whether we were impeding the investigation by releasing information that we got from other sources.
Walsh says her reporters dealt daily with hysterical parents, angry police, and a nervous community. They also had to compete with other news organizations. Walsh says when reporters cover an ongoing crime, such as the sniper attacks, they develop their own stakes in the case.
And as far as them trying to solve the murders, I think they'd be derelict if they weren't trying to figure out who was doing them.
That's exactly the impulse that so irritated Charles Moose. But Walsh says a crucial part of the story can get lost in the hunt for the killer.
The more the story is written, the farther down in the story the victim goes. And you have to be conscious of making sure that this involves a person.
Recounting human suffering is a difficult task. In the face of multiple deaths, people can become inured to numbers. But Peggy Walsh points out, if the victim's stories aren't told, then the killer's depersonalization of them becomes widespread. Netta Ulaby, NPR News, Washington.